Yo, this is Vintage Busby, you know, the yo.
Motherfucking drop the pen and shit. Yeah, we're going off on a really fucked up start, man. Shit.
But this is episode 46 of the Illogical Sense Podcast. I'm sitting across from my boy, Mr. JC.
Yes, she is. What's popping, everybody?
Wow, that was pretty pause worthy.
Yeah, it was, but whatever. Pause.
Yeah, and shit, we are now a duo.
And then there were two.
Miss Ivana, Mama Ivana Sanchez, my homegirl. She is no longer a part of the show. Still got a lot of love for her.
Definitely.
A lot of, you know, kind of shit happened. You know, it's life. Shit happens. We still got a lot of love for her. We're all still friends. And maybe down the line, she'll come back and we'll reconcile. Or not reconcile. You know what the deal is. Just, you know. We'll fix it one day. But until then, it's just me and JC.
Yeah.
And
shouts out to Ivana. Best of luck in everything she's got going on moving forward. And we go on from there.
Yeah, because, you know, I started the show back in July of last year, and it was just with you two, you and Ivana, and my goal was just like, you know what, people were telling me I need to do a podcast, you have the voice for it, so I was like, you know what, I'm going to get a motherfucking podcast, and I'm going to get my friends. So, I got both of y'all, and you guys were here every step of the way. I pretty much was keeping everything in order, because people were listening. People have been listening for the past fucking 46 episodes.
Shouts out to all the listeners.
From all around the world, crack!
Yep.
All around the world. And, you know, it's pretty much like an accomplishment. I feel I really just stuck with something for like a whole year. You know? Took you guys to SmackDown. We recorded an episode on the way to SmackDown. And
hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Fucking talked about real issues when it comes to relationships. And just music and debates about life and just a whole bunch of stuff, and I really, really enjoyed every movie. I'm talking about this is like the last episode. It ain't the last episode. The fuck? This ain't no series finale. But, you know, Ivana was like a crucial part for the show, but, you know, shit happens and she just had to go her own way for a minute. So, you know, yet again, shout out to her. And This is JC's like last episode in 3D.
Yeah,
because he's gonna be in LA.
I make the move next week. I'm excited about it.
You know,
I'm mentally and physically drained because the last 2 weeks have just been paperwork after paperwork, and then actually running down to LA, signing over for the lease. But as soon as I got the keys and I walked into my place and just had time to look at everything, it was all worth it.
Does it have air conditioning?
Hell yeah. That's what's and up. It's got a ceiling fan.
Nice. So you'll be extra cool.
Yeah. Especially with this damn heat, man.
Shit. Out here in the Bay right now, it was like 103 fucking degrees. I hate the heat. I fucking hate the heat.
I saw the devil barbecuing yesterday, man.
Who?
The devil.
Oh, shit.
Barbecuing yesterday.
It was just a regular ass day for him. Shit. You know, it's cold as hell. It's a blizzard to his ass. But yeah, it's hot as hell. I hate the heat. I'm more of a fall person. Or a fall, winter, hoodie.
Fall back.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm more into that shit.
But I go either way. Honestly, like, I do honestly prefer the cold, though.
Dude, you've been wearing hoodies even when it was getting hot. I was looking at you. You come to my house wearing a fucking full black-ass hoodie.
Okay, let's let's clear this right now, because you ain't the first person that's brought it up.
I'm just saying, bro.
Let's clear it up right now. When I filmed for the Raiders, I had to go 40 feet up in the air.
Yeah, I know.
And film. Mm-hmm. So the breeze always hits you. I don't know how the hell it happened, but my body adapted to that. No joke. So as a result, I wear hoodies. Now, for today, it was just extremely too hot.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to show up in the house in a perker, in a big-ass fur coat. Like, nigga, what?
But I have been having my hoodie on driving because I got the AC on full blast in the car. So.
Okay, I feel that. But, yeah, last week was Tupac's birthday, and it was the release for All Eyes on Me.
All Eyes on Me.
All Eyes on Me. So, so I was excited for the album. I'm not for the album. Fucking album came out in 96. This one was like a little kid. I was excited for the movie, But, like, when I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes leading up to the release, it had an 11% rating. And I was just like, ooh, Tupac Resurrection had a higher fucking rating than that shit. So I was just like, I don't know. I went in there with a high mind because there's only one person that could play Tupac, and that's Tupac himself. So, and I didn't know how, and everything, because I'm, you know, we're all Pac fans. All the real hip-hop fans know the story of Tupac. So, So it's like, you know, whatever. We're going to go into this. I'm going to go with a fucking clear mind. I'm not having no expectations. I'm just going to see if I can enjoy myself. So I watched the movie, and I'll just say this. Demetrius Smith Jr., he in...
Ship.
Ship?
Yeah, Demetrius Ship.
I said Smith. Yep. Ship. Demetrius Ship Jr., he embodied Tupac.
Oh, yeah.
He was Tupac. That was the best casting decision that they made. He embodied Tupac Shakur. And his mannerisms, how he talked, how he looked. There were times I would look at him, I'm like, that's Pac. That was like this. It was the same feeling I had when I watched Jamie Foxx when he did Ray. Mm-hmm. That was Tupac on the screen. But as for the movie itself, it just felt like a highlight reel. Like, the more I'm thinking about it, like, after I saw it, like, JC was hyping it up to me, saying, oh, you're gonna love this movie. And I don't like when JC hypes up stuff to me. I'd be like, dude, I'm gonna watch it. Well, I'm just letting you know, you need to be more excited, bro. And I'm just like, okay, dude. It's like for albums, for TV shows, anything. He hypes it up. And I was like, dude, don't hype it up. Let me just watch it. So, you know, I watched it, and I mean, I'm still very about it. Like, Demetrius did a great job, but the movie itself, there was stuff that was touched on. There was shit they made up. And I'm going to say this one more time. I'm going to say this. Hail Mary. Hail Mary was recorded in 1996. He never performed no Machiavelli records when he was alive. He made it, like, did some videos and shit, but he never performed it live. I saw Tupac perform Hail Mary in Straight Outta Compton in 1994, where the shit wasn't even fucking recorded yet. And then when he performed it in the movie, I was just like, what the fuck? What the fuck? He didn't record this shit. No Machiavelli record should be played unless he's in the studio recording it in any future Tupac movies. Shit. That's all I got to really say about that. That pissed me off. Other than that, yeah.
So, my take on it was, all I cared about was, did Demetrius nail Tupac? That's all I cared about going into the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I shouldn't say that's all I cared about. That was just the main thing. Yeah. The second thing was, can they fit as much as possible in this film?
Mm-hmm. And
they did both in my eyes. So I enjoyed the film. Now, the story, was it sketchy and a little bit all over the place?
Yes.
But I didn't care. I wasn't expecting this film to, like, you know, break records or win accolades. Yeah. I just wanted to see Pac.
Yeah, well,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
I just hated how it ended. I know he died in the end, but it just ended.
But to me, I actually like that ending. Because...
spoilers.
With Notorious... they made Biggie out to be like the superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And all Biggie had was just baby mama beef. Like, mm-hmm. That's all he had.
Yeah.
You know, he was definitely dealing in the streets.
Yeah.
So he had that background.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he was really beefing with cats on the come up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the most problems he had came from Kim and Fate.
Mm-hmm.
And while I appreciated that ending in showing what happened, you know, at his funeral with the crowd going wild.
Yeah.
It was just, again, they just tried to make it like he was just the superhero.
And all he was just a rapper that had baby mama drama.
And so, I was actually kind of taking notice of that for this. Like, okay, how are they going to do this final scene?
Yeah.
Because it's no secret. We know what happens.
Yeah.
How's this final scene going to play out?
They did that right. Besides, you know, how Suge didn't get shot in the head.
And to see how it plays out, and he just fades, and they have the gospel.
Yeah, I thought that was corny. That was pretty whatever. Corny to me.
I was cool with it.
That was just because after that happened, you hear the gospel shit, then it just goes black, and it said, oh yeah, Tupac died 7 days later. What? He was a high success. It was just like, whoa, what, what? And then credits. It was like, what the fuck? That's how you ended? Like, they didn't show the aftermath when everyone found out he died. They didn't show none of that shit.
But see, to me, though, I wasn't tripping off of that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I didn't trip off of that. I just, I don't know. Maybe it's just me being biased.
Yeah, probably.
I'm a big Tupac fan.
I'm a Pac fan too, but
and again, I just wanted to see Pac one more time. Now, to go in depth with whatever, I loved the Digital Underground scenes. I loved those.
Yeah.
The actor that played Shock G.
Yeah, he was Shock G. Yeah.
Got him, and then they brought Money B back.
Can we talk about the Snoop Dogg nigga?
We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely appreciated that. I liked the back and forth, the interview with Hill Harper.
That was Hill Harper?
Yeah, that was really him.
Oh, he was the guy that really interviewed Pac when he was in jail.
Yeah,
okay. That was really him. Was on Netflix for a minute. That interview, that real interview and shit.
Yeah, so I appreciate that because that added some hardcore authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Because for him, all you had to do was just rethink of how he spent that time.
They should have had details because every time I watched that interview when Pac was in jail and he had the hair and shit like that, I see that picture of that one little kid in the background. You know what I'm talking about? It was just little details they should have just added, but I thought that was kind of lazy. But that's me nitpicking.
So I appreciated that. And what I really appreciated was them going in depth of what happened leading up to that first shooting.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
I actually liked how they,
and instead of calling him Haitian Jack, they called him Nigel, which was interesting.
Well, that wasn't Haitian Jack.
Oh, really?
No. Haitian Jack was actually in the back. The one that actually gave the order.
Oh,
that was Haitian Jack.
So who was Nigel?
Nigel was just.
They said it wasn't made up. It was like it was a code for somebody else. It was Jimmy Hinchman or some shit like that.
Well, maybe. Maybe it was. Maybe.
It was just interesting to see how all that went. It was just from
actually,
that.
Actually, it was. He was Haitian Jack. It was just named Nigel.
Wow. So it was just from different perspectives. And the guy that played Biggie in Notorious actually played Biggie in this Pac movie. To give it like Marvel Universe kind of feel to it.
Yeah, kinda. I like that.
So if you...
Daz's son actually played him.
Daz is who?
Daz's son.
Played who?
Played Daz.
Oh, okay. Oh, that was Daz? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and also with the All Eyes on Me shit, when they were recording All Eyes on Me, the first record they made it seem like he recorded was California Love with Dre.
But we all know that.
Every Pac fan knows that when he got off that plane, when he got out of jail, the first song he recorded was Ambitions as a Writer.
In 15 minutes.
He made a whole album in 2 weeks.
Yeah. But I mean, you know what? I'm not going to nitpick about that. Because I enjoyed Straight Outta Compton, and there was a lot of similar.
I know.
My thing is, when it comes to Hail Mary, everybody just throws logic out the window.
No, I don't.
People love Hail Mary to the point where not only did Pac perform it a month before he recorded it in this film, but Pac was recording it 3 years before he even joined Death Row in Straight Outta Compton. Like,
it didn't make no damn sense.
Yeah.
I can't throw a lot. That's when I went to WrestleMania and the NWO came out to help Sting and everyone was all cheering. I'm like, don't cheer this shit. This don't make no goddamn sense. So when he performed Hail Mary, I was like, no. That's not, and I just got irritated. I was like, it just went down a fucking rating. Like, no. Shit.
Denai Guerrero played Afeni.
Motherfuckers. I swear to God, she said motherfucker so many times. I didn't even think Afeni ever said that. I mean, she probably did when she was alive, but every time white man did some shit, you hear Afeni just go, motherfucker. Got to a point, I just like, this should just be a soundbite for the show. Motherfucker.
I liked her portrayal.
There was some parts in the movie that seemed too, like the first half, it, leading up to when he got signed, when he was on Digital Underground to what everything to now, it just seemed like too lifetimey to me. Like, it's just too overacted, too cringeworthy, like lines and shit. It was like, you could tell they were trying too hard, especially with Afeni.
Maybe.
Because it was just like, because I don't know, maybe because I've always watched Afeni in her interviews and shit, and she always seemed more chill and relaxed. This Afeni was like intense.
But you gotta remember, we were seeing Afeni in the 90s.
True.
We don't know what Afeni was, Black Panther.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, maybe the, her getting addicted to drugs and then going to rehab was what calmed her.
calmed her down. Right. Yeah.
Because what we did see was the 90s. I don't know if there's archive footage from her in the 70s.
Yeah. I mean, there was probably some, but she was not, like, I don't know. Because she seemed hella, even, and then in other scenes when she was with Pac, after, you know, in the movie, she was still intense. So it was just like, she brought more, like, intensity to Afeni's character or whatever.
Right. One thing I noticed about Demetrius's acting was he was very on point when he was with Denai, obviously playing his mother.
Mm-hmm.
With Kat Graham playing Jada.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Jada in a minute.
And then with Annie playing Kidada. Like, those were the three that really brought out his.
Yeah.
I don't want to say brought out his best scenes, because there was one scene that I really looked at, and I was like, wow, that's Pac. And he wasn't performing. It was when he went to Interscope.
Yep, that scene when he was talking
and
about.
And he was breaking down his music.
Trying to convince him to put Brendan right. Got a Baby on the record.
And looking at that, the first thing that came to my mind when I saw it was they had interviewed Sway for this documentary piece about him years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Sway had said, Pac could come into the room and he could tell you the sky is orange and he will elaborate on it. And as soon as he leaves, you will look up at the sky and you will say, that sky is orange. And in watching him just go about, you know, pretty much trying to preserve his music, that was dope.
Yeah, it was dope.
That was real dope.
It was dope. But, you know, overall,
and then,
yeah, go on.
And then Suge Knight.
I was about to talk about that.
Me and
JC have a different approach to when we say Suge Knight. I like the guy who plays Suge in Straight Outta Compton. In my opinion, he kind of embodied who Suge was. I know he's in jail now for still staying in character, old method actor ass nigga. But, you know, this Suge Knight in All Eyes on Me kind of embodied, I guess, the more calm Suge.
He was more hands-on this time around.
Yeah.
Like, even though the Suge in Straight Outta Compton had Easy's ass whooped, he had Easy's ass whooped in front of him, and he was just kind of watching.
Yeah.
This Suge was taking mashed potatoes
and smashing it,
stuffing it in dude's faces.
And the thing about that scene is, like, we just think they made this up, but the stories you hear about.
Oh, no, I you can say it's made up all you want, but and yes, what we've heard
about what Death Row was, it's like, shit.
Right.
Now, Snoop.
Yeah, go ahead. Give your rant.
Okay. There's literally no rant. It's just when I saw the movie, I see this guy who played Snoop Dogg pop up, and all of a sudden he started talking, and I heard Snoop's voice. I'm thinking, oh, that's a good-ass actor. But the more I kept listening to it, I'm like, no, that really is Snoop Dogg's voice. Did Snoop dub his voice in this shit? Every time he talked, like, nah, cuz. And I'm like, that's fucking Snoop. I was like, nah. That's like the most corniest shit ever. And I saw, like, an interview with the actor who actually played him. He actually did kind of sound like Snoop. But it was like, nah, no, Snoop, I don't give a fuck. No, that was Snoop. Snoop dubbed his voice over that shit. Like, I was low-key pretty fucking corny. Like, it was corny as fuck.
There's that. Also, something else I did really appreciate and liked was that they had Demetrius re-record all the songs.
Well,
there were, like, two songs that were performance songs where they just left it be.
Yeah.
Everything else was actually him.
Mm.
I actually appreciate that because I liked how they did that in the New Edition mm-hmm. biopic as well. Like, I appreciated
that. No, that was Pac's
voice. No. He redubbed those songs.
Well, maybe his voice really sounded good on it. I heard Pac.
Yeah, that's why I was listening, like, especially when they played So Many Tears, and I know So Many Tears.
They added hella more ad-libs. I was like, I didn't hear that ad-lib.
They had, so everybody knows me, and So Many Tears is
on
my list.
Maybe it was just another version of the song we haven't
heard. Just to hear it, and I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, that.
I never heard that part.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wait, they got him to read. Oh, okay.
I think that was just another version that another mix we never heard. That's just me. But all in all, to us, All Eyes on Me was decent for what it was. But Twitter, you know how Twitter is. They just had to fucking just roast it and talk about how bad the movie was and shit. And one person who didn't like the movie or didn't like a certain scene in it was Jada Plinkett Smith herself.
Jada Pinkett.
Pinkett.
Plinkett. You are the king of slaughtering names.
Plinkett. Man, nigga, you call Karuchi Kaleidoscope.
I do it on purpose, though.
Cucaracha and shit
I
like
do that.
That
on purpose. You are.
Jada Pinkett Smith, and she went on Twitter the day when the movie came out and pretty much said that she didn't like the way her relationship with her and Pac were, you know, depicted.
Was portrayed.
Portrayed. And because there was a scene in there, spoilers some more, where Pac gives Jada his the poem that he wrote for her. And according to what Jada said, she never got that poem until after he died.
And no, she not, nah. The way it goes is she didn't read the poem until it was published in the book.
Oh, wow.
Remember the one that came out?
Yeah. Oh, wow. She didn't know about that damn shit.
Right.
Wow. That's even more fucked up. But then, and you know, it's movies, so they have to dramatize it. But then, at the same time, man, they should have just reached out. They should have at least reached out to her. Or Jada should have just been game and said, yeah, this is how our relationship was. Don't just go in there and just think how their relationship was. Because Pac has said on numerous occasions that him and Jada were like BFF, mm-hmm. like best friends, soulmates, and shit like that. Sorry, Will.
I don't even take it like that because people don't even know Will was the one who actually broke the news to her that he died.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they were already in the relationship. So,
and she also talked about there was another scene where she, where her and Pac got into an argument after he performed Hit 'Em Up and shit like that. And that was the last time they saw her. And she said that never happened. But mm-hmm. then, according to what Jada said, again, her and Pac, before Pac died, her and Pac had beef. Like, they had straight-up beef, and they weren't talking for a good minute. So she said she still had love for him. It was like they didn't have time to reconcile before he passed.
Right.
So, you know.
So here's my thing on that. Mm. I definitely would have wished that they would have consulted with her
mm-hmm.
to just to have her a part of the project.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. From a screenwriting background,
mm-hmm.
if they were to put those, the her, what she's, well, that's not what she's claiming. What she's saying that didn't happen and did happen.
Yeah.
If they were to go off of that, she would probably only be in this movie for one scene.
Real shit. Probably one or two.
Because the thing of it is how they ended it, we would have never known about that poem.
Mm-hmm. That's
so true. That takes that scene out.
Yeah.
Now, was having them argue at after he performed at the House of Blues probably the best scene? Maybe not. But that was also a triggering point, too, to kind of input, like, yeah, they actually did have a falling out.
Yeah.
This is the best way that we can do it, because she can also serve as that voice of reason to let him know he's gone overboard mm-hmm. and for him to mm-hmm. declare that, I don't care, you're not going to change my mind about this.
So from
an arc point, that was something. And one thing she said that actually wasn't true was she said Pac abruptly left. He didn't leave to go chase his dreams in California. But in the film, he wasn't leaving to chase his dreams in California. They were leaving to go to California to stay with Afeni's friend from the Panthers.
She was just probably just angry.
Right. Again, rightfully so. But yeah. There's for people to understand, Hollywood's always going to
do Hollywood shit.
Yeah, and they're going to emphasize stuff, overemphasize it. They're going to give a facade, but it's to push the story or the script that they already have.
True.
So everything's not going to be 100% accurate.
Well,
just like for, because again, we got to go back to Straight Outta Compton because people are comparing it to that. If you want to compare it to that and you want to nitpick this, let's nitpick the fact that Eazy-E versus Dr. Dre was big and it lasted for 3 years and that never shit was mentioned. Not in the film.
Never mentioned. It was crazy. And just, yeah, I get you on that part. So it's like Hollywood's just going to do Hollywood shit
right.
at the end of the day. It's just, but when it comes to this movie, I mean, it did well at the box office, you know? But if they do, if they ever, I heard apparently the Pac estate and Pac's people are actually going to do yet another Tupac documentary for whatever fucking reason. Because I feel the ultimate Tupac documentary was Resurrection. I don't know how much higher you can go with that.
Right.
Because he's had a whole bunch of, like, documentaries. Like, I think the second best Pac documentary was Thug Angel. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one and The Assassination when he was talking to the bodyguard. I don't know if you ever watched that one.
Yeah, when they talked to Frank.
Yeah, they talked to the bodyguards about what happened that night he got shot and shit like that. Those three. But other than that, you know, I guess the Tupac Resurrection movie still has a title. Because if they ever go back and do another biopic, they need to get Demetrius again to play Pac.
Oh, definitely.
They need to get him and then just redo everything. And don't get John Singleton to fucking do definitely. That shit.
I will say this.
Oh, yeah, and the Outlaws were in it too, which was kind
of
dumb.
Yeah, but I will say this. Thank you for the Outlaws being a part of it. Because had they not, probably would have got John Singleton's version of this film.
But according to what they said, John Singleton said that John Singleton's version of the script was that it was going to show Pac get raped in jail, and they were going to talk about Afeni getting a threesome or like chase her sexuality that had nothing to do with nothing. They said as soon as they read those scenes, and especially the opening scene, they talked about the opening scene on The Breakfast Club. Pretty much what happened was like the scene opens when Pac was fucking this white chick and he was going to do anal with her. And then she was like, no, I don't do that. And then she just runs off, and then Pac was like, yeah, go fuck that white nigga. You know, but when you go see that white boy, tell him you got fucked by some niggas. And he closes the door, and then it says, all eyes on me.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what?
So for those complaining about this one, just know.
I think there's a reason why they skipped over. Right. When they talked about all Pac's movies and All Eyes on Me, they skipped over Poetic Justice.
Right.
that was some petty shit.
I'm glad they also brought up Higher Learning, though. How he got booted from.
Yeah, he was supposed to be in Higher Learning, yeah. But they didn't talk about what he did with the Hughes Brothers, though.
Right. But they did. See, this is why it's. Again, with the script, it could have been better. Yeah. But I'm just appreciative they showed a lot. A lot of people did not know that he shot at the undercover police in Atlanta.
I mean,
a lot of people, but a lot of people didn't know. So to actually see it play out,
that was pretty dope.
That was something cool.
They would have did more with the whole beef between him and Biggie. They just kind of touched on it, but they didn't really go full fledged because that was a large part,
right?
You know, or and, his interview with Angie Martinez and shit like that.
Yeah, just... and one thing I actually did not know was how Death Row East came about. That was actually interesting to see.
But that contradicts to what Frank talked about in Tupac Resurrection about what happened with when Pac wanted to leave Death Row and shit like that.
And what was his account?
He's pretty much saying that after he heard the Snoop interview, he just said, you know, when Snoop was praising Biggie and shit like that, he just said, fuck this, what y'all niggas are doing, fuck this. After you got your money for All Eyes on Me, you got your money after Machiavelli, I'm out. Fuck that. But, you know, Frank died too, God bless his soul. Maybe, just again, nitpicking.
Maybe.
And I do remember the Death Row East shit. Pac did talk about
that. Yeah, because that was at the that was right before the MTV Awards.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that he, even though he fulfilled the album contractual obligation, he still owed money, and he knew he was trying to go solo. Well, not solo, but
go off on his own shit,
right? And go with the Euthanasia. That was actually funny seeing Suge walk him to the door. Like,
yeah, Pac had that look like, oh, I'm about to get my ass whooped.
And they open it up and it's just dead. Like, that was actually something, if it is true, that was something intriguing to keep him to stay.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know what? You owe me money, but we're going to be partners. And because you're under the Death Row umbrella, you're going to have free reign over the East Coast to do whatever the hell you want to do.
After the whole East Coast, West Coast. Right. Which probably would have led to...
You know what the plan was for Death Row East, right?
One Nation.
There was that, but Eric B was supposed to serve as president or vice president.
Wasn't he going to start Machiavelli Records too?
Well, that's the thing. He was going to start Machiavelli, but at the time they were going with this Death Row East, and Eric B was supposed to serve on, and they were getting ready to sign Big Daddy Kane, Wu-Tang, and Bobby Brown.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing something about that.
Right, and a lot of people keep forgetting it, because unless you really pay attention, a lot of people keep forgetting that Bobby Brown and Suge. Suge was Bobby Brown's bodyguard in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that connection.
I'm surprised Stretch wasn't mentioned. There's a lot of shit that should have been mentioned in All Eyes on Me, but all around, if you're a Pac fan, go see this movie.
Definitely.
Speaking of legends, Jay-Z finally got inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Shout out to Hove.
Yep.
Hove. H-O-V. Yeah, I'm saying
that like you're dealing with something right
now. No, I'm not dealing with nothing, but it's just kind of funny because on Twitter, I guess I made some little... I'm just a smartass, as I always am.
Pissed off some people.
I just pissed off some Nicki fans because some dude goes on Twitter, and he's because he said some shit. He said, yo, your MCM, Man Crush Monday, still calls Jay-Z Hove in 2017. He's 27. So I replied... He was Hove when I was in middle school. He is Hove when I was in college. He is Hove when I'm 29. Your WCW thinks No Frauds is a classic.
Bam.
And it's gotten over, it went viral. So it's like going all over. My phone's been going off all morning, which is pretty fucking funny. But, you know, shout out to Jay-Z. He's finally in the Hall of Fame. Songwriters Hall of Fame. Barack Obama shouted him out. Did like a whole, and he went on Twitter and went on a whole fucking I guess he was in the waiting room because Beyonce was about to give birth to the twins and shit like that. And he just gave like a list of all his favorite rap, all the rappers that inspired him and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And he went through a whole list and he was just like, fuck. It was kind of comical just seeing Hov back on Twitter because, you know, it was kind of cool. It's always nice to see certain rappers or certain celebrities that you don't expect to be on Twitter end up on Twitter and shit like that.
Right.
So, and I heard, like, through the grapevine that Hov is always on social media. He just doesn't say nothing.
He's lurking.
Like, I've been telling people, man, you never know. These celebrities like Jay-Z, Beyonce, Kanye, they even though they don't talk, they lurk. Probably on Instagram, Twitter, they follow certain people, and they just don't say nothing. They just see what you say.
Right.
So, you know, you never know. He could be watching you.
You never know.
And also, speaking of the Carters, they had their kids.
Yep.
They got twins. And twins for a boy and a girl. So Hov got his first son. And if you want to keep talking about Hov, he got a new album coming out next week.
444.
Was it next week?
Or
was
next Friday.
Oh, next Friday, yeah.
30th.
444. And I guess it's going to be a short film that we talked about last week that's going to have Danny Glover and how you say his name? Ali, the guy from Moonlight.
Oh, man.
You know who we're talking about. And Lupita Nyong'o, and it's going to... And also, apparently, it's entirely produced by No ID.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But here's the downside. It's going to be a title exclusive, and you can only get it on Sprint.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing that whole Magna Carta shit again, and it's like, all right, man, so I guess we're just going to be bootlegging this shit, as
Hell
always.
Hell yeah.
So what are you expecting from this Jay-Z album? You think he's gonna talk about everything that's been he's been quiet for a minute.
What's the significance of 444?
I don't know. Like, 4 is his favorite number.
Like 4 is like both his and Beyonce's. Like,
4 is my numeric number. I know it doesn't really mean nothing, but I don't know. Probably that's when he was born. I don't know. 444, whatever.
We got a responsibility to do some research, because if it's something like when Pusha T dropped Exodus 23-1, and this could probably be, you know, some resemblance of a biblical
proportion.
Hov 44
says, I just whooped your ass.
This might be one of them taking shots at everybody that needs to get a shot taken at them type of deal.
Oh, yeah. He also added the hyphen back in his name. So now it's J-Z. I mean, I never dropped a hyphen. I thought that was stupid. But, I don't know what we're expecting, you know? But this week,
I just hope it's better than Magna Carta.
Everyone still hates Magna Carta, man. I still like that damn album. That brings me back to 2013 instantly.
It was
summer
cool.
2013.
It was cool on the first listen until you realized it sounded like audio ads.
I know, you told me. Yeah. I know. But come on, Heaven, that's a dope ass song. Beach is better, even though it was like the fucking cock tease of the century.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's better than that.
Well, we're going to see. And who else is dropping? Only DJ Khaled is dropping Grateful on Friday.
Yeah, on my birthday.
Hell yeah. And I guess a few weeks ago, he dropped a video for, what's the Rihanna song called?
With Bryson Tiller.
And Bryson Tiller, No Problems. Many Problems. What the fuck? It was on my mind. I had it in my mind.
And then poof.
It just disappeared. Fuck, what's it called? I'm going to do my research. Oh my God, what's it called? It's Problems. It's probably has a Carlos Santana. Wild Thoughts. I think Problems. And the video was dope. Like, Rihanna was looking extra scrumptious in that shit. And it was like
she's looking thicker these days, man.
A lot thicker. And they sampled Maria. And Bryson Tiller's on there, but Bryson Tiller did not need to be on that record. That was a Rihanna record.
This is actually my first time hearing it, because I've wanted to wait to hear it on the album.
No. Honestly, Kyle's been 4 for 4 on it. Well, I don't know about To The Max. I take that back. With the Drake record.
Yeah, that was a miss for me.
But he's been hitting. And I looked at the track list. It's like 24 fucking tracks on that shit. And if I'm looking at it, it's like he got Beyonce and Hov. He has Drake, Rihanna, Bieber with I'm The One. He got Nas and Travis Scott on a song.
Yeah, that's wild.
He got Alicia Keys and Nicki Minaj on there. He got a Chance the Rapper feature, Travis Scott and Jeremiah, Party Next Door, Pusha T and Jadakiss.
Yeah, wow.
Fat Joe and Raekwon. Let's see, featuring the Young Thug. Hey, man, I don't know, but Khaled's been doing his shit.
Khaled's come a long way from being the dude that was rocking with Terror Squad.
Mm-hmm.
He's come a long way.
Oh yeah, he came a long way. I used to get hella annoyed by his black ass. or you know, Middle Eastern, whatever. But hey, man, he's doing what he got to do. A DJ that doesn't DJ.
Yeah. Oh, he DJs. And pulling it off.
And another one. So
another one.
I mean, this is going to be, what, 23 tracks? I know I'm going to probably listen to, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think it's going to fall off right after the Chance feature at track 10. Then when the Travis Scott Jeremiah shit, then that's when it's going to fall off.
Maybe. We'll see.
Because I only listened to half of Major Key. And then after that, that's when I just turn it off. That's pretty much all of Khaled's albums. I just turn it off after the halfway point.
Right.
So, shout out to Khaled. And shout out to Hov. And some new music dropped. 2 Chainz dropped.
2 Chainz!
Titty Boy. Fucking, what's it
pretty
called?
Pretty Girls Like Trap Music.
I listened to that. It was cool for what it was. And that's all I got to say.
I liked it. Definitely liked it.
2 Chainz came a long way.
Yeah, and I don't feel like he gets the respect he deserves. Everybody kind of just looks at it like, oh, well, you know. Mm-hmm. He'll fade out. But if you actually listen to what he's rapping about,
he's rapping about some real shit.
Yeah, and he actually spits.
That's the thing about 2 Chainz. Like, that's when I noticed he was rapping about real shit, when I heard Based on a True Story 2. And the second half of that album, he was like, it was the beats were more boom bap, and there were more, like, he was kind of talking about some real shit. And I'm like, y'all ain't listening to this shit. He's rapping about some real shit.
Right.
And he really put his thought into this shit, but no one bought it.
Yeah. And so, he was on a. He was with DJ Who Kid on the Hollywood Shuffle last weekend. And Who Kid asked him, you know, well, how do you go about picking your features? And something that I really appreciated from him was, he said, when it comes to features, I don't chase big names. He goes, I'm still looking at it from an artist. So I look at features, I look at people's vocals as instruments. Mm-hmm. So when I'm hearing tracks, I'm seeing whose vocals can bring out the best of that track.
Yeah.
He's like, so when it comes to that, I don't chase big names.
That's
like,
how it should be.
It's never been me. I pick whoever sounds good with that.
Yeah.
Just so happens that the people that sound good with it got some pretty big names. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's 4 legit hits on this album that he could have gone either way for a single, and they all would have jumped. Mm. Good Drink with Gucci and Quavo.
Yeah, that was a good one.
4 AM with Travis
Scott.
That
knocks.
Big Amount with Drake. And then It's a Vibe with Ty Dolla $ign, Trey Songz, and Janae Aiko.
The song he should have just left off there was Realize with Nicki Minaj.
He actually said he wanted her singing on that.
He should have kept it that way. She shouldn't have rapped.
Oh.
Shit.
He said he appreciates her. He said that he appreciates her singing, and he feels that she doesn't do it enough.
She should have just kept her on the hook, and that was it, because that verse was fucking trash. I'm not even exaggerating. Every time I'm hearing her rap, I get more annoyed now. It's like, you're fucking trash. Yeah, did Nas write did Papoose write the Ether record? Well, I broke Aretha's record.
That was a bar.
That was a bar! Like, and she actually thought that was some hot shit. Like, 2 Chainz actually.
No, I'm saying that was a bar. Like, that was actually.
But then she said it again.
Everything else, yeah, but everything else, I mean, it was a bar in mediocrity.
Shit, speaking of that girl, fucking, Nicki and Remy Ma were at the birthday bash in Atlanta. And apparently Remy Ma performed first, and then she went off stage, and then she was gone. I guess they escorted her off, and then Nicki came out, and she performed No Frauds, and the internet was going crazy. Like, oh shit, Nicki and Remy Ma were in the same building, and Nicki performed fucking No Frauds and shit, and talking shit in the fur coat. And then Remy Ma goes on fucking on Instagram and just talks about how they escorted her off. And like, now it's just becoming stupid. Are you bitches gonna fight or what? Like, it's like, now it's just like both of y'all are just being petty for no fucking reasons. And Nicki's getting a lot more brave. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. And also, I'm just gonna say this right here. Even though Ivana's off this show, the bet still remains. Whenever we come back, you're gonna, if Nicki loses that shit to Remy Ma, you go eat that fried chicken. Ain't no fucking ifs, ands, and buts. I don't care how long you're gone. You're going to eat that fried chicken.
On Snapchat, on Instagram Live, on Facebook Live, on Periscope.
You better hope Cardi B doesn't wins. Because I swear to God, if Remy gets that shit, woo, oh yeah, the BET Awards is this Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, ET Awards is this Sunday, man.
I'll be packing, but I think I might be packing and watching.
No, of course. I mean, Remember every
then
year,
again, I might not.
Remember, like, every, like, year, like, from 2014 to, was it 16 or 15? How many times did we go to L.A.? Like,
2000.
So I went there in 2013, and then you showed up 14, yeah. 15.
We went 14, 15, and did we go 16? I don't think we went last year.
Yeah, we didn't go last year, because that's when we started doing the podcast.
Or did we go last year?
We didn't go to L.A. last year. We didn't.
I went to LA.
You went to LA, but
I didn't go to BET.
I didn't go. Yeah, but every time we went out there, every time I went out there, I saw Snoop Dogg. In one way, shape, or form, saw Snoop Dogg. First, it was at that mansion party in 2014 when we were at the when we were like waiting in front of the fucking door for the BET Awards. You see him just walk in there, and then the fucking haunted house adventure. And like, oh, we saw him perform doggy style.
Great time. Everybody was staring at me like, how does this nigga know all the words?
You knew every fucking Death Row discography. You were rapping it. I was like, okay. And then everyone else is nodding their head. You're just like doing your little freestyle. Like, I was like, nigga, you know this shit too?
I'm telling you, dude, when it comes to Death Row, like, I grew up on them. Like, Corrupt was one of the MCs that actually, like, I tried to not necessarily emulate, but I was taking certain techniques that he was putting in. I really messed with Corrupt from the 90s into the early 2000s. Like, I feel like he's really underrated outside of the West Coast.
West Side? But I just remember that day. That was, you
know, yeah, so when they did To All My Niggas and My Bitches and everybody staring at me because I know Corrupt's verses word for word.
Yeah.
Even Daz's verse.
Yeah.
Everybody's just staring at me. I'm like, fuck y'all problem. Y'all the ones that live here, not me.
But we just came for Ice Cube. I did not expect him to perform doggy style.
None of us did. He came out and I was like, okay, well, cool, we got a show. And he comes out and it's the whole damn doggy style cover. And I'm like, wait, what the hell's going on?
What the hell?
And then the dope thing, still to this day, the dope thing I appreciate about that was when they did It Ain't No Fun and they had Nate Dogg's picture up.
Yeah.
And they let the whole crowd sing his part.
Of course. That's like, Nate Dogg's, that song, Ain't No Fun, Nate Dogg's verse is like the most universally sung song. When you hear that song, you're going to sing it. No matter where you at, you're going to be in our 80s singing that damn song.
Right.
So, yeah, but the BET weekend, that really is an experience. Well, is it an experience? The BET weekend?
It was at one point.
Then it just got boring.
Yeah.
It really did, because when you go out there, you see the same folks out there. This is a whole bunch of black people. I mean, I love it. I love black folks, but it's just like you see a whole bunch of stunting. A whole bunch of Instagram stunting, a whole bunch of social media stunting, everyone trying to fit in where all the artists are just like behind the scenes doing interviews and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you're working there, it's like kind of boring. It kind of reminds me of my mom used to take me to these conferences like in other states and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, people don't want to be there, but they have to be there. So when I went there to like work or whatever, I was looking around and I'm going like, this reminds me of my mom's freaking conferences. And then you was just seeing, you know, A&R people, and you see managers and bloggers and writers, and they just on their phones, and it's just like, oh, this looks boring. You know,
this shit you do,
this is what you do. Like, BET, I'm not really that excited about the BET awards. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen. The only award everyone's waiting for is the best female.
Yeah, that's the only one people care about this year.
Oh, yeah, and also Diddy's gonna like show off the Bad Boy documentary. That's gonna be on Apple Music, so I can't wait for that. But shit. Other than that, what else albums dropped? Oh yeah, Young Thug dropped this shit. You didn't listen to it. You made me listen to fucking Lil Yachty.
Okay, let's make this perfectly clear. Do you have any vendetta against Lil Yachty?
Or do you have any vendetta against trash any
reason?
Music.
Okay, it's just the music, right?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
I've made perfectly clear, when it comes to Young Thug, I have not supported Young Thug since he went on the BET red carpet, and they tried to talk about Mike Brown, and he just told the reporter, no, you know, we out here, we all dressed in jewels, and we gonna talk about this money.
Mm-hmm.
And what I took from that was, fuck every nigga in America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what happens. If, you know, police brutality or whatever, if it ain't about money and it ain't about jewelry, if it ain't about material, I don't care.
Yeah, he did say that.
That's what I took from it. And since then, when it comes to his solo career, I don't support it.
That's a good statement.
So when you were like, hey, listen to it, I had to remind you, like, this has nothing to do with the music. When it comes to any other artists, where it's just music that it's, you know, might be considered trash. All right, let's listen to it. This is actually something personal, and I'm taking a stand on it. And
I get you. I understand. I listened to a little bit of it. It's called Easy Breezy Beautiful Thugger Girl.
Jesus Christ.
And he's singing throughout the whole shit.
Yeah, I heard it was an R&B album.
Kind of. And honestly, I have to be in the mood. It's like one of those albums I got to be in the mood and I got to revisit if I really ever feel like it. And I don't really feel like it. It's like, it has some heat on there. There's a song with Feature that's pretty, actually all right. But other than that, it's like, Young Thug is just on a whole different realm. And now he's kind of like, I wanted to ignore him, but he's literally all over the place. He's on features and doing shit. And it's like, you can't ignore him no more. So
right.
He's like, yeah, I guess you're here. Well, I guess. Like, he forced his way into your life. Like, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
So, I guess. Like, it's an I guess album. I'll probably go back and listen to it. Nah, no. Nah. Sorry, can't. And honestly, he fucking flopped on the fucking charts anyway. So everyone always praising Young Thug about how great he is, and it's like damn near like a country album. Everyone always praises that nigga, and he always flops on the fucking charts. he hasn't had a commercial. That's a word.
Yeah, there you go.
That is that a word?
I don't know, but
he hasn't had a commercial
in the logical sense. Original
commercial. Another one. He hasn't had a commercial success album in a minute. So, like, since he dropped, I mean, you know, he hasn't dropped his first official album. No, if it's on fucking iTunes, it's a fucking album. So when's it gonna be official? Now, I guess his official one's supposed to be High Tunes or some shit like that, but they don't know when the fuck that's coming out. It's going to be the same old bullshit.
Man.
But, you know, you don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. And you said Lorde dropped an album, too. Did you listen to that?
Lorde dropped and Big Boy dropped. I just didn't get a chance to
listen to them.
To listen. So, eventually, we'll get to it eventually. I might take to Twitter.
I'm trying to listen to Big Boy, but it's like if Three Stacks ain't with you, man. I know Big Boy can rap. Don't get me wrong. I know he can rap, but if Three Stacks ain't with you, sorry.
I think yeah, it's probably just embedded in everybody's minds. I can listen to them both separately.
Both separately? What, Outkast and Big Boy, or just Three Stacks?
No, I'm saying I can listen to Big Boy and Andre separately.
Well, Andre only has one album you can listen to separately and a few featured verses.
Yeah. So because of that, it makes it easier to say, okay, that's them as Outkast, and then when they do their separate stuff, I can still listen to it. Mm. Like I said, timing-wise, I just wasn't able to get around to it this week.
I feel it.
But in sports realm...
What?
Oh,
yeah, LeBron went bald, just like your ass.
Yeah, LeBron finally came home, man. Congratulations, dog. Welcome home, man.
To the bald-headed community?
Welcome home, man. It's a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing. Of course... You know, whole ass Warriors had their little whole ass parade.
The little whole ass parade
on a Thursday. I'm glad I was in LA.
Yeah, 1.6 million people were in Oakland that day. Yeah. That's
I actually picked up when I came back. I was driving Uber on Friday. I picked up one of the security guards who was working. He's like, I hate every single last one of them. They just nobody listens. I already hate Warriors fans, and I was like, hey, high five, man. You got a 5-star already, dude.
See, at my job, I was talking to somebody who was a Laker fan. He was like, I don't really hate the Warriors. I just hate the fucking whole-ass fans. I was like, damn, y'all hate the fans like that?
I'm telling you, dude.
Like, the fans, hate. I can understand. Like, they're sore winners and they're sore losers, both the Cavs
and Warriors.
They just
don't know how to act.
That's the thing. Not the team, but the fans.
That's just the thing when you're dealing with fans from franchises who aren't used to winning.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know how to act. It's always somebody else's fault when they lose. So then when they win, and they're in the winning frame line, as in putting up more wins than losses in a season, but they lose in a game, they don't know how to react and just say, oh, they got us. It's always everybody else's fault.
Yeah, they got two championships now. So at this point, same look, they're like the Giants now. Don't complain when y'all don't go.
Right. So they had their little whole-ass parade or whatever.
And Draymond, pretty much.
Draymond was being Draymond. And it's funny, because a lot of people really don't understand that Draymond and LeBron are actually cool.
Yeah, they're hella cool. You know what I'm saying? It's competition at the end of the day.
So they had their little back and forth on social media.
That shirt was pretty funny.
Right.
Quickie.
Yeah. That's what she said, huh?
And, you know, LeBron. It was just hella random seeing LeBron with a bald head, and he was just back on Instagram and just like, yeah, I'm dancing, bro. I'm like... Oh, damn, LeBron. And I remember he was saying the Warriors were stressing him out, and they stressed him out that bad for him to cut his hair and shit.
Man, welcome home.
Home. It's going to be crazy when you see him play. You know, damn.
Yeah. And then we get to, NBA offseason might be a hell of a lot better than the playoffs.
How so?
Well, the Celtics and the 76ers did, I guess you call it a blockbuster trade, but they kind of broke the internet on Saturday when the Celtics agreed to trade the number one overall pick to the Sixers for their number three pick. And then they got like three or four other picks in the deal over the next 2 or 3 years, which means that it's at this point, it's pretty much all but certain that the Sixers are going to go with Fultz out of Washington. They're going to go with that pick, which means that it's still up in the air for Lonzo Ball to make way to us in LA.
I heard the Lakers might not even pick him up.
It would be interesting to see. It would, for the fit of the team, it would definitely be interesting to see if they go another route. Because, I mean, you can say all you want as far as Lonzo being the hometown kid and LeVar, you know, bringing all the attention their way. But when it comes down to basketball, we desperately need a point guard. D'Angelo Russell, we had hope for him. It's 2 years later, and it's clear he's not the point guard that we need. So Lonzo can come fill that in. And then yesterday, Paul George went to the Pacers and told them, yeah, I'm not going to be returning next year. I'm declaring for free agency. And, Woj, shout out to Woj from Yahoo Sports.
He's not a part of Yahoo Sports no more, is he?
No, he still is.
I thought he's on ESPN now.
I don't know if he is or if that's taking place later, but for now, Woj is still breaking articles for Yahoo.
He's the feds, man. He be getting all the fucking
news. He knows. He confirmed Paul George, preferably Lakers. So you have that.
Paul's thinking about going to the fucking Spurs.
And then, like, because of the Celtics getting all those picks.
Yeah.
The rumor is that they're going to try to take that number three pick and use it as bait for Chicago to get Jimmy Butler. And then if they're able to get Jimmy Butler, then they're going to go all in on Gordon Hayward and try to bring him in from Utah.
Shuffling, man.
So it's going to be interesting next few weeks, man. You know, and then back to the NFL with Colin Kaepernick.
Still no one signed him. It's about a month
for
into
whatever
July.
Reason. For whatever reason, Roger Goodell
came out. What did Roger Goodell say?
Say he didn't believe that Kaepernick was getting blackballed.
Of course. What else is he going to say?
Right. And then, you know, at this point, the media is... Well, let's not say the media. The African-American... Scratch that. Let's not even say African-American. The black media. The Hispanic and Latino and Latina media.
All the people of color.
Yes.
How about that?
They are convinced that everybody else is trying to convince them that that Colin not being signed is the way the universal balance should go. And there was even an article that came out and gave 14 backup quarterbacks that were better options than Colin Kaepernick.
Who?
Would you like to know?
I want to hear how some of these quarterbacks, Colin Kaepernick, in the 3 years he was there with the Niners for how? 4 years? How long was he with the Niners? 4 years. In the first 3 years, he took that team to the NFC Championship twice. He was 5 yards away from winning the fucking Super Bowl and one throw away from fucking getting us back to the Super Bowl. So explain to me, what quarterback is better than Colin Kaepernick?
Okay. So to start off with, you got Jimmy Garoppolo from the Patriots.
No.
Next. Now this is where...
Am I going to get mad? How mad am I going to get?
Jimmy Garoppolo was the only one where I was like, necessarily agree with it, but okay, I could see it. From that point on, it just...
Just go on.
Matt Moore.
What? No! Next!
Colt McCoy. Who actually was on the Niners.
No,
as the third string.
Just go on.
A.J. McCarron. Remember A.J. McCarron from Alabama? The only reason why you knew about A.J. McCarron was because of his girlfriend?
Just go on. Next.
Okay. Chad Heaney.
Pissing me
Geno
off.
Smith. Put the mic back up. I'm not done.
That was me. I just wanted to throw the fucking microphone right now. Geno Smith is better than Colin Kaepernick? Who wrote this shit? Who wrote that?
We'll get to this.
Who wrote that?
We stopped. There's still more names. Drew Stanton from the Cardinals. This is the trigger point. Brock Osweiler and Cody Kessler from the Browns. Okay, so Busby just left, so I'm going to continue reading these off.
What the fuck?
Chase Daniel from the Saints. Derek Anderson from the Panthers.
Who? Derek Anderson? Derek Anderson is better than Colin Kaepernick.
Nick Foles, who just played Ring Around the Rosie, Musical Chairs in the NFL.
They filmed Nick Foles from the Eagles. That nigga's better than Colin Kaepernick?
Ryan Mallett.
Who wrote this shit?
Okay, we're not done. Matt Barkley. Landry Jones.
These are quarterbacks they feel is better than mm-hmm. Colin Kaepernick at mm-hmm. this point in his career. Mm-hmm.
Matt Castle. Remember Matt Castle?
The one that took over for fucking Brady?
Yeah. Matt Castle.
He still plays?
Apparently he's a backup for the Titans now.
Right, shit.
And the dude that wrote this, his name is Andy Benoit.
Wow, you got the name of a fucking killer. The fuck? What's his name? Is he white?
What do you think?
Probably Mitt.
What do you think?
You're going to try and sit here and tell me Colin Kaepernick, who had stats out the fucking water, regardless of how I felt about Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick, numbers don't lie. That motherfucker got us to the...
There's one more.
I'm about to go on a whole rant. Come on, who
there's
is...
There's one more.
Who?
They said, you could even put Matt Hasselbeck. And he's a better option than Colin Kaepernick.
See, if you would have said Jeff Garcia, I would have been like, maybe. Matt Hasselbeck?
Yeah.
And he still plays?
No. He ain't playing a
cool
man.
Fuck that old... See, this is what I'm just going to say. I'm going to say this one last time. These old racist-ass motherfuckers, man. You gonna try to sit here and say all these other... Geno Smith is better than Colin Kaepernick? Yeah. I'm supposed to sign Geno Smith over a quarterback that got the Niners to the fucking Super Bowl... Got the Niners to the postseason three out of the four times?
Yeah. Now, I bring Colin Kaepernick up because, again, everybody was so up in arms about him taking a knee... Making up different narratives for what he was protesting. And I bring that up to remind people that Philando Castile, for those who don't know or don't remember, was a black man who was in his vehicle who told the officer, yes, I have a...
And then got shot.
I have a gun in the glove compartment, and the cop freaked out and shot him. Well, the cop was found not guilty.
Of course. At this point, I'm numb to this shit now.
And so. The same people who are up in arms about Colin Kaepernick...
Are very quiet right now.
Very, very quiet.
Very quiet.
Well, Kaepernick stirred that pot.
Of course.
And he went out and tweeted, a system that perpetually condones the killing of people without consequence doesn't need to be revised. It needs to be dismantled. Pretty good tweet, right?
Uh-huh.
Except you had the fact that there's controversy with the photo he attached to it.
What was the photo?
The photo reads, you can't ignore your history. Always remember who they are. And side by side, it's a picture of the police officer badge next to the runaway slave patrol badge.
Yeah, he ain't never getting a team. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're done out here. Yeah. I'm sorry. He's never getting a team.
But
he
with that, no I appreciate that.
I appreciate that too. Kevin
I appreciate the hell
Colin-
of that. And it also shows that the NFL is full of hypocrites. The NFL always commands the most out of their quarterbacks. And they say they want their quarterbacks to take stands and be leaders of men.
White.
Here's a man that's clearly being a leader of men for all...
The people.
The people. And they don't like it. I wonder why.
Because they're racist.
I wonder why.
They're racist. And the NFL, I hope everyone's on the NFL's next through this whole season. If he doesn't get... He's not going to get... After what you just told me, he's not going to get signed. He was about to get signed by the Seahawks until the NFL people called him and said, no, don't sign him. And it's like, oh, nope, can't go. Shit, fucking have the Raiders sign him or some shit. Like,
we stocked up. We were literally stocked up.
And only team that can pick him up is my Niners. We can take
but him
But
they already
back.
Said they were going to get rid of him regardless.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you, Jed York.
Like, literally, they said they were going to, it didn't matter if he was going to opt in. They were going to, if he didn't opt out, they were going to release him.
Yeah, he was the last of the Harbaugh breed. Go to Michigan. Like.
So there's that. And then Michael Vick's made the news after doing a few interview rounds. He says that he hopes to get into coaching.
Okay.
Actually might be a very, very good fit for him to be a quarterback coach.
High school or NFL?
Obviously college. He's not. Obviously he's not. He's not going to turn down any opportunity, but he would definitely prefer to go to the NFL ranks and help develop quarterbacks in the league. Give him some knowledge about everything he's accumulated, both on the field and off the field. And I actually could see that as a very good fit for him post football.
Same with Peyton Manning, he'd be a good quarterback. He'd be a good quarterback coach, maybe.
Probably.
You know, so shout out to them.
Yeah.
And other than that, man, how you preparing for how you like this move?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
It's a long time coming, but I'm ready, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna join you out there eventually. Probably by the end of the year. Hopefully by the end of the year.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. You know, shit, man. It's gonna miss your black ass being over here. I mean, you're gonna be here in spirit, yeah. The mic and shit.
I might just be gone for the next couple weeks. Just
because you got to readjust.
Relocate.
Probably have Edgar here. We'll probably have some little halfers interviews and shit that.
We don't worry, people. We still got means to get this show still cracking.
Oh yeah, it's gonna happen regardless. Right. This is the illogical sense. I've done this for a fucking year. So I'm about to do this for a fucking year.
Can't stop, won't stop.
One person doesn't stop the train from moving, so it's just gonna keep going. So shit. I'm about to say if you have a soundtrack for the week.
I don't.
Well, I guess I got one. It kinda personifies how you're going. I was listening, since it was Pac's, birthday and shit. And it was
a lot of people's birthday. Past weekend.
Like Kendrick's was Kendrick, the day after. They're like joint to the hip. Come on now. But I was listening to Machiavelli because that's my favorite Pac album, and I think what really jolted me to get to LA was when I listened to Live and Die in LA.
Street Science, you're on here.
I was like this intro. I love Tupac's new record.
Right, but don't you feel like that creates,
and we never hear from him again. I love Tupac's new record.
Shut up!
Yeah.
I have sex with your wife, and not in those words. Are you talking about seeing you deceased?
He said, I love.
But, I was listening to this, and I was like, you know what? I gotta move out there. You're going to L.A., my boy going out to L.A., I got to get out to L.A. at the end of the day.
That's the move right now, man.
I don't want to die in L.A. So it's like I put it up on my ends. I put goals to live and die in L.A. Well, minus the dying part, but.
Maybe 2070, something like that.
Fuck that, man. I want to live forever.
Do you really?
Well, nah.
If you really think about it, would you really want to live forever?
As long as my friends and family live with me, it's cool.
I would not want to live forever, man.
Yeah, me neither.
Imagine being alive in 1890 and you're still alive today? You know how much shit you've seen?
Shit.
Like, you've literally seen when the KKK was out getting coffee in their damn outfits. See, and there was no problem whatsoever.
See, niggas, well, you want to live that Wolverine life, huh? That Logan life?
I don't want to live. Like, you can take me at 70, 75. I'm good. Maybe 80.
Hey, man, I just got to focus on me. And shit like that. Give people some space. Focus on me. And people come back in your life for a reason. They the seasons or whatever. And if God has everything in order, you'll come right back.
I'll tell you this. If I live to see the iPhone 81, it's too damn long.
Shit.
Too damn long.
Man. My mom lived long enough to see Roosevelt. And she saw both Bushes, Nixon. And she saw the first black president. And now she's seen this hoe-ass nigga in office. Shit. Anything's possible in this motherfucking world.
Yeah, when I think about it. I've lived long enough to see 5 Los Angeles Lakers NBA titles. Wow. To all you ho-ass Warriors fans. Get on deck, little homies.
Shit. I came out of nowhere. Like, you started this episode, you started this show talking shit to the Warrior fans, and on this last time you hear, you're going to
end it the right way. Stay out of my inbox. Stay off of my phone talking all this. Oh, we got 2 in 3 years. Motherfucker, we got 3 in 3 years and 2 in 2 years.
You should be happy they didn't get that.
Put some bass in your voice and then talk.
You know how annoyed you'd be if they would have went, if they would have had the 3-peat?
Oh, man.
Oh, you would have just, you would have left earlier.
I wouldn't have been alive to see the iPhone 8.
Someone was going to die. But yeah, to live and die in L.A., or to live in L.A., that's the goal. And then
to live.
To live, pretty much. So, Speaking for JC Nuts. Hi there.
Yep. My last time in person for a little. Actually, no, not for in person.
You gonna be back for the holidays and shit?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For a while.
Yeah, for a while.
But even then, I was thinking about it. I'm still gonna be recording on my mic, and we just swapping files.
Or fucking, or on Skype or something, depending on how it sounds on Skype.
This is gonna be my last show at the counter table.
Yeah, at the counter table.
For a while.
You know. It's a duo now. It's the Illogical Sense podcast. It could be a duo, trio, whatever. At the end of the day, I'm glad all y'all are listening to this shit.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate
Thank you so
all
much.
Y'all for listening to this shit. And, peace.
Late.